Parno Parshas Korach. There's a discussion in the Rishonim how to read the opening two psukim of Parshas Korach. Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kahos ben Levi v'Dasan v'Avira ben Eliyav v'On ben Pelis ben Reuven. Korach, and we give his yichus, took and Dasan and Aviram and On ben Pelis. And the end of the sentence is left hanging a little bit. What did he take? Who did he take? You know, what's going on over here? So Rashi famously quotes the Targum Onkelos that translates the word Vayikach as Ve'ispeleg. He separated himself. So in other words, Korach, together with Dasan Aviram and On Ben Peles, Vayikach separated himself in order to bring about a machlokas, in order to bring about a dispute against Moshe Rabbeinu. The Sfarno takes a different approach to understanding these first two psukim, and again, primarily focused on the word Vayikach, and he writes as follows. Vayikach Korach, Shir HaKosov V'Sidro Ki'ilu Omar. You have to turn around, you have to switch around some of the words and the phrases in these first two psukim and read them as follows. Vayikach Korach, v'dason v'aviram v'on ben Peles, chamishim u'mosayim nesiyei Eda. In other words, Vayikach means he took, or as we're going to see, the Sfarno understands it to mean they took, right? Which, again, you know, Korach was the primary taker, and he had henchmen to help him out with the taking. But as opposed to understanding Vayikach as he separated himself, instead, the Sfarno understands that there's an object in the sentence. The subject of the sentence is Korach, or the multiple subjects in the sentence are Korach, Dasan, Aviram, and On ben Peles. They took the 250 men. What's that? Yeah, okay, so in other words, if Korach Vayikach, Korach was the one who took, together with Dasan, Aviram, and On ben Peles. But what did he take? So he took chamishim mosayim nesiyei edo kriyei moed anshei shem. Now that phrase, 250 chasheva people, 250 nesiyei edo, princes of the congregation, is the second half of pasuk beis. So in other words, you see what the Sfarno is doing over here. He's taking a phrase at the end of pasuk beis and sort of transposing it to the end of Pasuk Aleph. So what happened? There's still more that has to be explained over here. So they take the 250 men, Vayokumu lifnei Moshe v'anoshim b'bnei Yisrael. So then all of these people stand before Moshe together with other people from b'nei Yisrael. Now that's the way the Sfarno interprets the Pasuk. Anoshim b'bnei Yisrael, people from b'nei Yisrael, is not a reference to the 250 Nesiei Eda. Rather, it means another group of people. So in other words, there's the ringleaders, Korach, Dasan, Aviram, On ben Peles. There's 250 Nesiim. And there's a motley crew, if you will, you know, an odd assortment of other Jews who were gathered together with them. After gathering all these people together, V'achar kach, afterwards, Pasuk Gimel, V'yikalu al Moshe v'al Aaron, they gathered against Moshe and Aaron, and they put in their tainas. They put in their complaints. Vayomer aleim rav lochem. It's enough that you, Moshe and Aaron, should be leading Klal Yisrael. So explains, comments the Sfarno. Korach dosen vaviram. Korach dosen aviram nikalu. They came together, l'Yisraeim al Moshe v'al Aaron, to complain against Moshe and Aaron. B'maymer chamishim u'mosayim nesiyei ha'eda. Shehol chushom ba'atzas eila ha'misra'amim. The ringleaders complained against Moshe and Aaron in the presence of these 250 chasheva people, Nesiei Eda, from Klal Yisrael. Be'esha hayu lifnei Moshe anoshim bnei Yisrael haboin ladin. And they timed their complaint against Moshe and Aaron. They timed their complaint to come precisely at a time that Moshe was acting as a judge, and there were people lined up in the waiting room waiting to have a din Torah administered by Moshe Rabbeinu. V'osam ha-chamishim osayim no adusham, these 250 Nesiei Eda came there, Kimahochim letumam el Moshe liyatsev imosham. Why did they come there? So it was very easy to explain their presence. Moshe Rabbeinu right now had office hours. He was judging people with a din Torah. People were congregating anyway. So in other words, Korach was a very wise man. Chazal say he was a pikeach. He was a very smart person. So he stacked the deck, so to speak. There were all these people coming anyway to see Moshe Rabbeinu. So all of a sudden, there are 250 hired guys who show up there. Now, nobody can tell anything because they just blend in with everybody else. You know, there are tons of people coming to see Moshe Rabbeinu. But now, Kadeshi Kishi Kalu, Korach, Dosar, Bavim, Achar, Kacha, Moshe, V'Aaron, Yiyu, Heim, Kulon, Ke'echot, Maskimilu, Divrei, Hanikolim. The way Korach set things up is that when Korach, Dosar, Bavim start complaining against Moshe Rabbeinu, all of a sudden there are 250 yay-sayers, quote-unquote, randomly placed in the audience. So he was a master of spin, we would say nowadays, Korach, right? You want to try to show that you're not just coming on your own merits. You know, you have this crazy idea against Moshe Rabbeinu. You want to show the people are behind you. How do you show the people are behind you? You hire the people, right? You hire the people, they show up there. Korach, Dosan, Aviram come in randomly to confront Moshe Rabbeinu while he's interacting with the people. And all of a sudden, there are 250 people in the audience who are jumping up and saying, yeah, they're right, they're on the money, they're 100% correct. It sounds like it's a grassroots response to Korach, Dosan, Aviram, but it's nothing of a grassroots response. It's a very calculated placement of these 250 people there, so they'll be able to stick up to serendipitously, you know, to spontaneously respond, you know, to the complaints of Dosan Va'aviro. So, yeah. I guess it's one of those, the question is, why couldn't the Nesi'a Ha'edah see through Korach? I guess it's one of those things that's easy for us, you know, centuries later in hindsight, to be able to read the Chumash and say, Korach was totally wrong. They say about one of the Chassidish Rebbes, I forget which one, maybe someone will remind me, that he said he was a Gilgul of someone who was alive during the Machlokas Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu. And they asked him, Nusa, which side were you on? So he said, I was on the sidelines, I wasn't sure who to follow. In other words, it's very easy for us. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu was right and Korach was wrong. And it's very easy for us reading the Chumash to say, okay, you know, if I would have been there for sure, you know, I would have sided with Moshe Rabbeinu against Korach. Who in his right mind would side with Korach? Well, you only wouldn't side with Korach if you know the end of the story. They didn't know the end of the story, right? To them, you know, Korach was externally a tzaddik, an important person, and they thought there was merit to his arguments, apparently.
In other words, he's just really raising a question, raising a legitimate...
Yeah, they thought...
Raising a legitimate question.
Yeah, they thought he was legitimate. I mean, again, you know, you could be on the wrong side of history, but, you know, we only know that it's the wrong side of history in hindsight. At the time, you know, they thought there was legitimacy to Korach and his claims. So this is how Korach set the whole thing up. It was a setup. That's the way he's describing it. Lifnei osam anoshim b'nei Yisrael shnimsa usham. It was all a play in front of those Jews who happened to be there. The anoshim b'nei Yisrael, the people of b'nei Yisrael who were there. Uvacharu sha'a shiyeh sham hamon am. Korach and his henchmen deliberately picked a time where there would be a multitude of people in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. They wanted to make a splash right from the beginning. How do you make a splash right from the beginning? This is before social media. You know, Korach didn't have a Facebook page where he could just publicize, you know, his complaints against Moshe Rabbeinu. So he said, you know what, we'll come up in front of Moshe Rabbeinu's daily receiving line, where he's receiving the people for Din Torah, and we'll raise the complaints there, and then it will spread like wildfire. You know, everything that we're saying will spread throughout the Machane Yisrael. So it comes out the Svarno, besides presenting this very sort of conniving way that Korach goes about confronting Moshe Rabbeinu also has a very creative way of reading the Psukim. Again, let's just go back and look at the Psukim. We'll see how creatively he reads it. Vayikach Korach V'dosan V'aviram B'nei Aliyah V'on Ben Peles Chamishim U'mosayim Nesiei Eidah Kriyei Moed Anshei Shem. Korach, Dosan, Aviram, and On took these 250 people. Now, that's such a creative way of reading the Pasuk. Not only is he skipping from the end of Pasuk Aleph to halfway through Pasuk Beis, but he's also ignoring all the trup notes, which we've seen already. The Sfarno feels that that's a legitimate way sometimes to read the Pasukim. The simple pshat in the Pasuk, in Pasuk Beis, is Anoshim Ibnei Yisrael Chamishim U'masayim. The people from Bnei Yisrael were 250, and that's an esnachta, it's the middle of the pasuk. And then the latter half of the pasuk explains who these 250 people were. Nesiei Eidah Kriyei Moed Anshei Shem. They were the Nesiei Eidah, these chasheva people. So basically, the Sfarno is ignoring the esnachta. He's starting the phrase as if it says, Chamishim U'masayim Nesiei Eidah Kriyei Moed Anshei Shem. 250 Nesiei Eidah. So he took these people, vayokumu lifnei Moshe, they came before Moshe, va'anoshim ibnei Yisrael, which does not refer to the Nesiei Eidah according to the Sfarno, they came before Moshe Rabbeinu, va'anoshim ibnei Yisrael, at a time when Moshe Rabbeinu was receiving random people from Klal Yisrael, in other words, he was receiving them for Din Torah, and that, in that public setting, that's when they lodged their complaints. Again, a very, very creative way of reading the Psukim according to the Sfarno. Why does he read it in such a creative way? So probably he's bothered by the following question. The whole phrase, Vanoshim ibn Yisrael, is an extraneous phrase in the simple reading of the Pasuk. Vanoshim ibn Yisrael, Chamishim Masayim, Nesiei Eidah, you know, if Nesiei Eidah is modifying Anoshim ibn Yisrael, so why do I have to say, yeah, of course they're Anoshim ibn Yisrael. Who else are the Nesiei Eidah? Of course they're Jewish people. Right, so the whole phrase "Anoshim ibn Yisrael," Jewish people, is an extraneous phrase. So it must be referring to yet another group of people, says the Sfarno. It must be referring to a group of people who are coming to interface with Moshe Rabbeinu for a din Torah. Okay, so that's the scene. What's the taina? What's the actual complaint which is lodged against Moshe Rabbeinu? So they say, "Rav lochem, it's enough that you, Moshe and Aaron, are leading the people." Ki chol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. The entire congregation, kulam kedoshim, they are entirely holy. Uvesocham Hashem, and Hashem is in their midst. Umadua tisnasu al kahal Hashem. Why should you hold yourself up over the congregation of Hashem? On the basis of what do Korach, Dathan, Aviram claim that kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim, that everybody is holy? I mean, it's a rather strong claim. Well, what gives them the right to say that everyone should be equal, everyone is equally holy? So Rashi writes, Kulam Kedoshim, Kulam Shomu Devarim B'Sinai Mipi Agvura. Everybody heard God's revelation at Har Sinai. They heard the Ribbono Shel Olam himself speak to the people. So in other words, okay, we're all obviously on the same level. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, heard from the Ribbono Shel Olam directly, and everybody else in Klal Yisrael heard from the Ribbono Shel Olam directly. So Mimela, what established the equality, the fundamental equality of Klal Yisrael, was Maimon Har Sinai. It was the fact that we all heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak to us together at Har Sinai. Interestingly, the Sfarno takes a different approach. He writes as follows, Ki chol ha'eda, kol echad mehem, everyone among the congregation, kulam kedoshim, right? So the Sfarno very interestingly says, kulam refers not to all of the people, but they are entirely holy. Mikaf regel viad rosh, from foot to, from head to toe, toe to foot, toe to head. Why does he do that? Because otherwise the word kulam is extraneous. Ki chol ha'eda, kulam kedoshim. Right, we already said the entire congregation is entirely holy. So everyone is just as holy as you, Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Kemosha Amar v'yisem kedoshim leilokeichem. As it says, and we read in Chumash just not a short while ago, you will be holy to your God. Where does it say v'yisem kedoshim leilokeichem? Parshas Tzitzis, at the end of Parshas Shlach. So in other words, Parshas Tzitzis, which was stated right before Parshas Korach, establishes that Klal Yisrael are all holy, and the rebels, Korach, Dathan, and Aviram, are working off of Parshas Tzitzis and saying, look, you Moshe Rabbeinu, just a few psukim ago in the Chumash, said, V'yisem kedoshim le'lokeichem, that all of you, Klal Yisrael, will be holy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't have to go back to Har Sinai. What's wrong with the argument from Har Sinai? So perhaps Moshe Rabbeinu would say back, justifiably, you heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, two dibros, I was at Har Sinai for 120 days. I didn't eat, I didn't drink, I mean, there's a little bit of a disparity over there. You can't claim that your mamash on the same level. But v'yisem kedoshim le'lokeichem is what Moshe Rabbeinu himself just said in the Parashat Tzitzis. You all will be holy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by virtue of observing the mitzvah of Tzitzis and all of the rest of the mitzvahs that come together with that. So that implies that Taka, we're all on the same level. This is very interesting. We know Chazal famously, Rashi quotes it, link Parshas Tzitzis to Parshas Korach in the following way. Again, it's a very famous Maimon Chazal, that one of Korach's complaints against Moshe Rabbeinu focused on the mitzvah of Tzitzis. Right? He went to Moshe Rabbeinu and he said, "Bega kishikula tcheles." What would be the halacha if a garment was made out of tcheles entirely? Does it still need tzitzis with the psil tcheles, with the cluster of tcheles strings? And of course, Moshe Rabbeinu says the halacha is yeah, it still requires tzitzis. So Karach says, it doesn't make any sense, right? So Chazal in that famous statement, again quoted by Rashi, link the end of Parshas Shlach with the beginning of Parshas Korach. The Svarno is taking a different approach, just based on the psukim themselves, without introducing any other stories. The end of Parshas Shlach says, "V'yisam kedoshim lelokeichem." You're all going to be holy. So if we're all going to be holy, so we're all holy. That's what should follow from that. We noted last week in a different context that the Ibn Ezra's understanding is that Parshas Korach took place immediately after the Chet HaEgel.
Right. In between separation from the Meraglim?
Right. No, so according to the Ibn Ezra, Parshas Korach took place before the Meraglim. It was right after the Chet HaEgel. Right. So the Ramban over here, the beginning of Parshas Korach, takes tremendous issue with that Ibn Ezra. Again, we've seen the Ramban in general argues for the idea that the Torah 95% of the time is in chronological order. It's only the rare exception where the Torah is not in chronological order. And the Ramban also argues based on Svara, just on a logical perspective. He says, it makes sense that the rebellion of Korach would have been right after the Chet HaMeraglim, because the people were so beaten down, they were so depressed after the sin of the Meraglim, that you could see the seeds of discontent were sowed among the people. It makes sense that Davka, after that incident, that they would have rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu to a much greater extent than what happened after the Chet HaEgel. The Chet HaEgel was a terrible thing, and people involved in the Chet HaEgel were punished, but after the people got their punishment, the rest of the people went on. So in other words, there wouldn't have been a reason, says the Ramban, for the people to have rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu in that kind of way. It's only after the Chet HaMeraglim, where the entire generation is going to be punished, that there's this feeling of discontent and a feeling that they want to strike back against Moshe Rabbeinu in some way. It could be, but when people are broken down, they resort to desperate measures. So they might have thought, okay, everything's going wrong, so now maybe is the time to rise up against Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the way the Ramban understands. We should just point, as I mentioned this with the Machlokas, the Ibn Ezra, and the Ramban, because clearly the Svarno over here is taking the side of the Ramban, right? Because according to the Svarno is making much of the fact that right before Parshas Korach, you have the Parsha of Tzitzis, which says, V'yisem kedoshim le'lokeichem. According to the Ibn Ezra, that parsha of Tzitzis. Right. In other words, if Korach belongs back in Parshas Kisisa, so that connection between the parsha of Tzitzis and Parshas Korach wouldn't seem to be there, you know, according to the Ibn Ezra.
It says that the 250 people took Ishmael Tassay and they went to Pesach Ayom Ma'ed.
Right.
It wasn't Ayom Ma'ed right after the Ego. That was first a year later.
Well, there was no Mishkan. Right, but remember Parshas Kisisa says Moshe Yikaches HaOhel V'kara LaOhel Moed V'kara LaOhel Moed. That's the pasuk in Parshas Kisisa. So in other words, it may not have been the Mishkan, but there was this thing called the Ohel Moed, which was distinct from the Mishkan. Right. In other words, that seems to be the simple reading of the psukim in Parshas Kisisa. What's that? Maybe there was a Mizbeach, maybe there wasn't a Mizbeach. But in other words, what were they bringing the Ktaris on? You say. Right. So maybe there was a makeshift Mizbeach. I mean, maybe that's possible. That's what you'd have to... I guess according to the Ibn Ezra, that's the way you'd have to understand it. Right? But the simple Pesukim and Parshas Kisisa make it sound like there was something called the Ohel Moed, which was distinct from the Mishkan. You know, Moshe Yikachis Ohel V'Natolo Michutz Tamachana V'Karlo Ohel Moed. That's the Pesukim and Parshas Kisisa. Al Koponim, so they come with these complaints. U'madua Tisnasu Al Kahal Hashem. Why should you raise yourself up over the rest of the congregation? So adds the Svarna to this, B'inyan HaKedusha, when it comes to issues of Kedusha. In other words, the way the Svarna understands the complaints of Korach against Moshe Rabbeinu is not that Moshe Rabbeinu is in a leadership position. I mean, we understand somebody has to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. But when it comes to Kedusha, and we'll see what Kedusha means in just a minute in this context. When it comes to Kedusha, why are you in a superior position to the rest of Klal Yisrael? Namely, Sha'asartem ho'avoda l'b'choros. Why is it that you prohibited the firstborn from engaging in avoda, from bringing karbonos to the Ribbono Shel Olam? U'moshe kvar kien kol zayin yimei amiluim. Moshe Rabbeinu served as a Kohen during the 7 days before the dedication of the Mishkan. V'aron uvonov kohanim la'olam. And Aaron and his sons are going to be Kohanim forever. It's not fair. You took the Avoda away from the Bechoros, which...
Korach know that Hashem actually said it?
So he's apparently claiming that that doesn't come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that that's really, something that Moshe and Aaron made up for themselves. Right? In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally gave the right to do Avoda to the Bechoros. The Bechoros don't represent a particular family or particular shevet, they represent all of Klal Yisrael, right? Okay, it's not everyone within Klal Yisrael, but at least they're distributed evenly across Klal Yisrael. And now you're restricting the avoda to basically Kohanim, and to you, Moshe Rabbeinu, who served as a Kohen prior to the dedication of the Mishkan. That's not fair. Madua tisnasu al kahal Hashem, the ability to bring karbonos shouldn't be restricted to a particular family. Now, again, just to put this together with what the Sfarno was saying before, Korach is not saying that all of Klal Yisrael should be equal to Moshe Rabbeinu. That would be a silly statement. After all, Moshe Rabbeinu spent 120 days at Har Sinai, and he clearly is on a different madrega than everybody else. But he is saying as follows, why should the ability to do avoda be restricted to one family, to one group of people, if we're all kedoshim, as per the end of Parshas Shlach, so then we should all have, you know, every Jewish family should be able to produce someone, a bechor, a firstborn, who can do the avoda in the Mishkan, and then later on in the Beis HaMikdash. Why are you replacing the bechoros with kohanim? Interesting to note over here, that the Svarno seems to be against a statement made from the Maharal, I think it's in Parshas Tetzaveh, where the Maharal asked the following question. He asked this question in Gur Aryeh. We find that the Avoda was taken away from the Bechoros after the Chet HaEgel. But yet, Parshas Tetzaveh, which delineates the specialness of the Kohanim, the special begadim they have to wear and the like, Parshas Tetzaveh precedes Parshas Kisisa, and seemingly Parshas Tetzaveh precedes the Chet HaEgel. So in other words, the Kohanim were lined up to do the Avodah even before the Chet HaEgel. So how could that be? I thought after, you know, before the Chet HaEgel, the Avodah was, you know, given to the Becharos, and it was only taken away from the Becharos after the Chet HaEgel. But it seems like there's being preparations made for the Kohanim to do Avodah even before the Chet HaEgel. So the Maharal suggests an answer that the Avodah per se was always something that was supposed to be done by the Kohanim, even before the Chet HaEgel. What the Becharos were supposed to be was that they were supposed to be Leviim. And the Leviim, you know, what ended up being the role of the Leviim was originally the role of the Becharos, in other words, to assist the Kohanim in the Avodah. And after the Chet HaEgel, that privilege was taken away from the Becharos and given to the Leviim. But the Becharos were not replaced by the Kohanim, rather they were replaced by the Leviim. The idea of Aaron and his children having that special status of Kohanim is something that predates even the Chet HaEgel. That's the Maharal and Gorarye answers that question. It would seem from the Sfarno that he doesn't hold that, because the Sfarno says the Taina of Korach against Moshe Rabbeinu is that you took away the ability of the Becharos to do avoda, the Aaron uvon of Kohanim la'ola, and instead Aaron and his sons are going to be Kohanim forever. So it sounds like, you know, what the Becharos originally were slated to do was the avoda of the Kohanim, not the avoda of the Leviim. That's what it sounds like from this Sfarno. Again, not the way the Maharal understands in his commentary in Parshas Tetzaveh. Right. I mean, the simple pshat of the psukim sounds more like the Sfarno than it. Let me put it like this: the Maharal doesn't necessarily have to say what the 250 people wanted was to be Leviim. In other words, it's not necessarily it's the Sfarno who makes the point that they were trying to recapture that which was taken away from the Becharos. It could be they were just saying, who gave you the right to be Kohanim? We want to be Kohanim. Forget about, you know, Becharos. We're not talking about Becharos. Who gave your mishpacha the exclusive right to be Kohanim? We can be Kohanim also. So in other words, you know, that part doesn't have to work against, the psukim don't have to work against the Maharal, but the this particular formulation of the Sfarno sounds like the Sfarno, at least, is holding not like that line in the Maharal. Okay, we'll pick up over here. Bezva Hashem, Rav Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos HaSisrael, L'Fikach Hirba L'Hem,